Welcome to the Hollowell Manor. I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And we are here to discuss Season 5, Episode 23 of Charmed.
Oh my goddess, Part 2.
This seemed necessary, right?
This episode. I feel like last episode we kind of touched on how it was a long walk to get to them becoming goddesses, and maybe it didn't need to be a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
That is so apparent in this episode. There's so many parts where it just feels like it's dragging.
Hey, did you know that the Charmed Ones can't do anything without Leo? Because if you didn't know that before watching this episode, they repeat it 10,000 times.
They repeat it 10,000 times because they use the fact that Leo is gone as an excuse to sit around and do, like, nothing for the bulk of the episode. I really do feel like I could take these two episodes and edit them down to a really tight 40-minute episode that was an enjoyable watch.
Yeah, probably. Also, the Titans go out like chumps. These guys, You know what? We'll get into it. But when last we left the Charmed Ones, some dickhole brought the Titans back from being frozen by old-timey Greek gods. The Titans proceeded to slaughter the shit out of the elders. Leo went up to White Lighter Land. He's being sole survivor guy. He's coordinating the resistance, which is protecting the handful of elders who did not get slaughtered.
I mean, is he doing that, or is he just playing hide-and-seek up in Elderland?
Allegedly, he has been organizing the resistance. That's okay. What we've been hearing.
But the most important thing he did is bring fire to the humans. He Prometheus'd the shit out of the Charmed Ones.
Yeah, he uplifted the Charmed Ones into literal goddesses so that they could fight the Titans. But
Chris has warned them. Chris, who's from the future.
Oh, yeah. A white lighter from the future named Chris has shown up and... clearly, there's nothing sinister going on with this guy.
But he has warned them that the deal with the Greek gods is that they got too big for their togas.
They're also just mortals that got uplifted by the elders, which...
to defeat the Titans the first time around.
Yes.
And, they got all hoity-toity, and so...
the elders had to take them down.
And the Charmed Ones have to be careful not to get too... obnoxious with their powers. They need to not be corrupted by their powers.
Okay.
Guess who doesn't have the power of premonition? It's Chris.
I mean, it works. It works really, really well. The main problem with the Charmed Ones in this episode is apathy, and get ready for that to be a major force in the show running forward.
It's true. It's like... life hack, can't get corrupted by too much power if I don't feel like doing anything today. Anyway, the episode opens right where the last episode stopped. The three sisters have just been turned into goddesses, and they are feeling their powers. They are feeling the nature of their powers, which is to say that Paige is feeling very warlike because she's been turned into the goddess of war, and...
who should be Athena. But she's clearly an Ares riff.
Yes. And
although she has a trident for some reason.
Oh my god.
That's a Poseidon thing, buddy. But
okay. Mm. Okay. Hold on. Let's go through who the sisters are and then let me bitch about it.
Okay.
Piper is feeling very grounded because she has been turned into the Earth Mother Goddess.
Okay, so Gaia then.
I guess she is supposed to be Gaia, but motherhood is part of her domain, so I was thinking she was more Hera. But then I was going to complain that it's not the right temperament.
I think they might have been going for a Hestia thing.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Although, she gets described as an Earth Mother, not the goddess of the hearth. But
No, they actually say that her power is the hearth at one point. And then she's like, I don't know, she makes some joke about not knowing the word hearth. And
Phoebe's the goddess of love.
Yeah, so she's trying to bang her nephew. I mean, to be fair,
Greece.
It is. I mean, I was going to say, to be fair, no one knows who Chris is yet. And this is, in my opinion...
oh, I thought you were talking about Ares and Aphrodite. No, you're talking about Phoebe trying to bang Chris.
Yes.
Ancient Greece again.
She gets all, like, super flirty with him. And it's creepy because we, of course, know that Chris is Piper's son. But this, to me, is just very clear evidence that the writers didn't know who they were going to make Chris be. And your theory about who he is?
Yeah.
or not who he is, but who the writers were going to make him be before they made him be Piper's son.
Because, makes this worse, I know, but...
Right, which is, your theory is that they were originally going to have him be Cole and Phoebe's son.
Yes, which...
Totally makes sense.
And I think that's what they're starting to lean into next season with Chris, because... He's got, like, this thing where he knows stuff about the underworld, and you could see where maybe this would be where they were going with the character, but, like, there were clearly multiple pivots on who Chris is.
Yes. Anyway, the fact that they gave Paige a trident... Well, first of all, Phoebe and Piper don't have... magical items. Only...
Hey, Phoebe has a wig.
Oh my god. Yes, she does.
She has a blonde wig because as the goddess of love, she has to be blonde.
Makes sense to me.
Is Aphrodite is usually portrayed as blonde. She is. Huh. Is that rooted in anything? Or, like, Sappho do a poem about her being, like, gold of hair or whatever?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
There's probably a societal thing between... you know, blonde, and also people assuming Aphrodite's hot, which, I mean, obviously she is. She is.
Of course Aphrodite's hot. What?
But all the gods are hot, like, except, obviously, Hephaestus, but, you know.
Okay, but she's not just hot, she's attractive. And she's attractive like a trap.
Yes. Well, she's all forms of love, and love is, you know, often beautiful, but often other things, especially if you're a Greek god.
Anyway, there's lots of Greek gods and goddesses, and their portfolios are wide and varied.
Poseidon covers the oceans and horses.
But if you were going to break them into three, I really feel like it should have been broken up into...
the big three.
The big three, Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, yeah. Right? So, especially if you're talking about defeating the Titans. And they gave... Paige a trident. So at some point someone had this image in their head, but they just couldn't figure out how to make that work with who the sisters are, right?
Okay, it's fantastic because Piper's like, why are we wearing togas? And Chris is like, it's a symbol of your new power as gods. And Piper's like, but back in god times, back in ancient Greece, this is just how people dressed. Like, the gods were just...
That's what I said last week.
Yes, Piper didn't say that. Tina said this, which is right, but no one points it out. They should just be wearing their regular clothes.
Or, like, really cool outfits that symbolize war, love, and, you know, earth.
Phoebe could break out her Cinderella dress again.
Oh my god. Anyway, that's who the sisters are. And because they are now imbued with the goddess aspects or whatever, they are also... feeling it, right? So
Phoebe's mega horny, Paige wants to murder everyone, and Piper's feeling very grounded because she's the goddess of earth.
Yeah, no, she is. I said that.
But yeah, Paige is like, I think we should cut off Chris's balls, and Phoebe's like, no, I want to use them for sex, and Chris is like, okay, I'm gonna go scream in the corner for about 5 minutes. Like, I get it, you have your powers are affecting your brains, but Piper, the powers that you have make you the least insane member of your sisters right now, so I just need you to lead the charge, murder the Titans.
Piper, though, is hyper-focused on Leah, which makes sense, both because she's Piper, and also because, as the kind of mother goddess, she's focused on...
being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she wants to know where Leo is, why he did this thing that the elders have forbidden when he, according to Piper, never goes against the elders.
Are you unaware of your whole relationship?
Are you new here, Piper?
Yeah, Leo's... Oh god, I'm having so much trouble saying this. Leo is the bad boy white lighter who doesn't do what the elders say.
Oh no!
He's a rebel. He plays by his own rules. Remember when he brought you back from the dead? He wasn't supposed to do that. That's not a thing white lighters are supposed to do.
Anyway, Chris says that the reason that he came back from the future was to convince Leo to give them the powers. But I thought the reason he came back was to keep Paige from dying.
It's already very unclear. To be fair, he's lying.
That's
so
true.
So it makes sense that his story can just change, although I do like the theory we put forth about time always needing a reason for Chris to go back, because this isn't multiverse theory. This isn't a branching timeline thing.
So the timeline shifts with him in it.
Yeah. So even if he resolves the problem he went back to fix, there will always be a problem that required him to come back in time.
Yes. Paige is really excited to have a trident, a war trident.
She shoots lightning at Chris, and Chris is like, oh my god, why can't you focus?
No, to be fair, I wouldn't be able to focus either. At one point, she goes, hey guys, watch this! And then just blows up their piano. She's just so excited. Then Phoebe decides to head off to the bachelor auction and pick up some bachelors. And we get to see her transportation effect.
Oh my god, Xena is laughing at you, Charmed. Xena!
She transports away in a flash of heart-shaped pink light.
Oh my god, it is so cheap looking. Paige lightnings away, which is not better.
Honestly, I think they're fun. I think they're campy fun. Yeah. They're orbs.
Well, it does really remind me of Xena, which I guess is appropriate.
Right, can't be fun.
Yeah. Also, how the gods teleport and that Aphrodite had a kind of similar cartoony pink thing. And also, she was like a valley girl.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I guess I really do need to sit down and watch Xena.
So, Piper's like, hey, Chris, you're obviously lying to me about a bunch of stuff. And Chris is like, I mean, probably, but what are you going to do about it? And she's like, damn it, he's got me there. Meanwhile, the Titans.
They want to kill the Elders.
Still, they...
They killed a bunch of them. They want to kill a bunch more.
There were a lot of Elders, apparently.
I know, right? 24-hour party Elders, I guess.
One of the Titans is bummed that Cronus killed his girlfriend. And Cronus is like, eh, we can get you a new girlfriend later, which...
He's like, don't you understand? I killed her last week, so we only had to pay her for one episode.
Yeah, his reasoning for killing her isn't great. Like, he's like, no, we...
She was a distraction.
She was a distraction from the mission, which... I mean, she died after you fucked up the mission and a bunch of Elders got away, so, like...
Whatever.
So, yeah, they're going to find the remaining Elders and murder the shit out of them. We get... It feels like it's been a bit... This also lends credence to your idea that this could very easily be edited into one episode. We have so many shots of San Francisco in the opening. It goes on for half past forever.
I feel like it last week was an extra long one, too. So, yeah.
Like, hey, I feel like I could give street tours of San Francisco after this opening.
So we come back from credits and go to the Bachelor Auction, which is being held at P3, as all important events in the Charmed Ones' lives are.
Elise is announcing, you know, and now we're going to auction off some men for the Bay Mirrors Children's Fund.
They have a foundation that does charitable stuff. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Is that... Do newspapers do that?
I don't know.
Whatever. So...
Local alt weeklies don't, which is what I always felt like the Bay Mirror was, but whatever. You know, wait, you know what? I take that back. I guess they could do fundraisers for things.
I guess.
Yeah, I could see, like, the Portland Mercury doing fundraisers for shit. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the most outlandish thing in the universe. So Elise introduces the first bachelor, who's, like, a pediatric surgeon with an amazing penis or whatever.
Yeah, one of the ladies is like, take off your clothes!
And he's like, maybe later if you pay enough money. It's very weird that this is a real thing.
Okay, but then Phoebe glides in her love goddess persona, and the guy's like, ooh, can I buy her instead? First, no, that's creepy. But then all of the men in the room start bidding on Phoebe. Like, what's even happening?
Okay, the thing about this is, I totally buy Phoebe being a local celebrity because she's always doing the most... insane shit. Like, we haven't even hit the Lady Godiva episode yet. There's an episode later where she rides naked through the streets of San Francisco to protest a restaurant that won't let her sister breastfeed. She gets possessed by a French stripper ghost and destroys a multinational merger by ghost stripping in front of a bunch of foreign people.
There's this very strange dichotomy where Phoebe does the weirdest possessed shit and everybody's like, well, that's Ask Phoebe for you. But then meanwhile, magical creatures come to San Francisco and do stuff that from the outside, if you describe it, does not seem out of place in San Francisco. Like the...
Are you thinking of the nymphs?
Like the nymphs from a few weeks ago?
Breaking news, women dance.
In San Francisco nightclub.
Yes.
But just to kind of foreshadow the end of this episode, Phoebe gets away with it because everybody is like, oh, she just, it was just a bit. And apparently all of these men who are screaming out numbers in the tens of thousands made good on it and paid it. Like,
sure.
When they were no longer under the influence of her as a love goddess, they were like, well, I guess I owe the Bay Mirror $20,000 now for all that foot worship I did of their advice columnist.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yep, that is, that is in fact the situation, yes.
All right, let's go to Paige.
So, Paige is recruiting a demon army. She shows up. And there's a glen. There are a bunch of demons just hanging out in a glen because I guess they already had this set from the leprechaun episode and the nymph episode, so they might as well just use it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, she shows up and she's like, hey, demons, who's your leader? And one of them's like, I am. And he raises his hand and Paige blasts him and she's like, okay, now I'm the leader. You're my army. Everyone worship me.
And they do, because that's how demons work.
Yeah.
I mean, do know that's how demons work.
Yeah. Cole told Phoebe, that's how demons work.
She quotes Archimedes completely out of context because he's a great warrior. She's more in the context of she's read Sun Tzu and just walks around quoting him all the time. She's like a 14-year-old's idea of what a war god would be when he's like role-playing one.
One of the things I like is when people are like, you can tell someone hasn't read Sun Tzu when they're recommending it as an actual thing in war.
Yes.
Because a lot of it's about like, you know, maintaining rations in a very specific part of the world at a very specific time period. And it's like, a lot of this book would not be useful during modern warfare.
You know what other book is like that?
What?
The Kama Sutra.
Oh yeah, the internet exists now, you're fine.
Well, the actual Kama Sutra, most of it is just like very boring relationship manual from a very specific time in a very specific place that is not relevant now. I used to, I probably still do somewhere, have a copy of the actual Kama Sutra, mm-hmm. as opposed to what is sold in sex shops as the Kama Sutra, which is a single chapter of the Kama Sutra with illustrations.
Yeah.
I do remember once I was explaining to someone, I'm like, yeah, the people talk about it like a sex manual, but it's really not. There's like one chapter that's a sex manual, and this person kindly said to me, and that section is that where the spine is broken here on this book. And I was like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
fair.
It's like a less toxic men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
I don't think it's possible to be more toxic. Oh, you should all listen to the If Books Could Kill podcast episode about Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, because every joke I would make about it is from that podcast, and it's brilliant.
Why would you buy a book about marriage advice from people who are divorced?
I don't think he was divorced when he wrote the book.
Exactly! They got divorced like 3 years later. I mean, I get why you would buy it before that happened, but...
You know who's divorced now? Okay, listeners, we're going to have to give you the context because this is going to be, like, way inside joke to our marriage. But do you know who's divorced now?
Everyone who's gone to Emerald City Comic Con.
Okay, that's not.
That was that not where you were going?
That was
going
not where
with
I was
that?
Going. No. It was the couple who did the elephant in the room pitch at Shark Tank.
Oh, my God.
They're divorced now.
You mean the best pitch ever? I know we've talked about it on this podcast before. We're going to do it again.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing. The product is an elephant. It's a stuffed toy elephant that you put in a glass box.
It's not even glass. It's like a plastic box.
It's a plastic box. You put it in the middle of your house, and that way your spouse knows that you want to have an argument with them.
It's basically a plush, we need to talk text personified. And they were selling it for like $50. Like, literally anything could be that. You could have an argument mug that you decided to put in the middle of your coffee table if you decided that's how you want to blow up your marriage.
Yeah, you could just walk up to your spouse and start screaming.
Anyway, they're divorced now.
Also, don't scream at your spouse.
Right?
Like, but, well, they talked about, we've been married for a year and we've been to 3 different marriage counselors and this is what we came up with. And it's like, who are you, Piper and Leo?
Ooh. Speaking of, nice. Mm. Speaking of, Piper shows up and is like, hey, Paige, we're supposed to be defeating the Titans, not recruiting an army. And I'm like, well, that's, I mean,
she was planning on using the army to fight the Titans, although, I guess you could use them as, like, bait or whatever.
She was given war powers. I feel like that's, this is her skill set to defeat the Titans. What did you want from her?
Yeah, but Piper sends the demon scurrying off with a blast of her mighty voice, and then she blorps Paige back to the manor so that they can put their heads together with Phoebe. And why does Piper think that Phoebe would be useful in general, but also specifically in this situation?
Yeah, what's love gonna do? What is love gonna do?
What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it.
Yeah, so when they get back to the manor, the elf who's watching over Wyatt is like, yeah, I'm taking the baby out of here because it's getting really gross in here.
I thought this was a house of good magic, not a house of ill repute.
I mean, I don't know where she got that idea. Seriously. That it was a respectable house. It's definitely not. But it's certainly not now, because now Phoebe has taken over the sunroom and is being fanned by all of the shirtless men from the bachelor auction who have come home with her.
Wow, they sure got a lot of bodybuilders to be in this bachelor auction. Also,
that's what you would do.
Also, that is a really long shot of that dude massaging Alyssa Milano's foot.
Yeah, someone had some feelings.
Yeah. So Piper's like, you know what? I blew away all of Paige's demons. I'm just going to blow away all these guys too. Get out. Wind powers. I have wind powers. Earth
now,
goddess.
Now keep in mind, when the dust settles from all of this, these guys all ran their credit cards for tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, God. I'm just picturing, like, the pediatric surgeon, like, a month later looking at his visa bill being like, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Oh. So, anyway, Chris comes into the room and he's very disappointed in them for giving into their god powers that he made Leo give them.
Yeah, he's like,
He scolds them.
And they're like, it's not our fault. We may have the powers of gods, but without Leo, we don't know what to do. And Chris is like, you have got to be shitting me. Oh my God. You are literal gods right now. You really need fucking Leo to point and shoot you.
Chris is like, why are they acting like I don't know who Leo is? I know that you don't need Leo. I mean, to be fair, we have discussed Piper does need someone to shout, Piper, blow him up!
Yeah. Yeah. So, the leprechauns are trying to protect
the youngest, hottest elder ever.
Yeah, I think this is the guy who was shitty to Leo last episode, but maybe not. Anyway, yeah, the leprechauns are trying to protect this elder, but it goes poorly for the one guy. The one guy gets burned to a shillelagh crisp, and...
Yeah, but the one guy, you mean the leprechaun, but the elder's still alive, and I feel like, since the Charmed Ones are just trying to protect the elders, they would take this as a win.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't give a shit. They teleport in, and they, like, use their god magic to block the powers.
Create a shield. They create a shield so that the Titan can't hurt the elder, so that they can all orb away.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, I thought we'd be able to overpower them, but all we could do is protect. And the elder's like,
fuck protection. We want to blow these guys up.
Also, the elder could have orbed away at any point. Like, he was just standing waiting to be obliterated.
Okay, I'm actually going to defend Charmed now.
Okay.
The elders are trying not to use their orbing powers because that's how the Titans can track them. Something about the way the elders orb is what makes them visible to the Titans. And
I mean, so the Titans were already there attacking him, though.
Well, but so his two options are to basically orb over and over and over again, because I get the feeling that the Titans can follow their orbs pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Or orb to the safe space and risk exposing all of the elders that are hiding in the safe house to the Titans.
Well, the first option sounds better than just standing and waiting to get obliterated.
Well, I mean, the leprechaun was going to fight him. So his options were to run or to stand and fight. Like, that's fair.
Also, why aren't you whipping out the lightning you guys are using all the goddamn time next season? I mean, I know the elders are being portrayed as pacifistic at this point. Next season, they're pretty free and loose with the lightning, though. So, they've been orbed
to the safe house. So, the thing I just said where they didn't want to get orbed to the safe house because that might alert the Titans. Never mind. Because one of the other elders orbed that elder and also the charmed ones to that sanctuary.
Which apparently Leo set up. Like, the elder's like, look, I know I've, you know, been really shitty about your relationship with Leo Piper, and I thought Leo was, like, a scrub-ass loser who didn't deserve to be a white lighter, but he, like, saved a ton of the elders, and he created this sanctuary, and he's, like, literally the one who's keeping heaven running while we're on the run from the Titans, so way to marry Leo. Good job, and Piper's like, why do I suddenly have a feeling that I'm about to lose Leo forever?
Meanwhile, Paige, who of course is the goddess of war now, is like, how could this possibly be a sanctuary? I can see all sorts of spots where people could come and attack you. One of the elders is like, yeah, but Leo put, like, magical protections around it, so we're magically protected. And Paige is like, I don't know about that. I've lived in the manor for 2 years at this point, and I've never heard of magically warding a place against demon attacks.
To be fair to Paige, in Baby's First Demon, she establishes that they don't set up protective wards because it will mess with their magic, which is a kind of weird justification to do this late in the show.
Well, it's because they had assholes like us asking questions about it all the time.
But, yeah, no, apparently it was cool for Leo to... Also, Leo can set up wards? Okay. Apparently it was cool for Leo to set up wards here, and it wouldn't, I don't know, mess up their magic.
Well, these are elders. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
All they do is stand around and tell white lighters what to tell witches to do. Like, literally, what is their job even? They're like the middle managers of heaven.
Yeah, basically. So Piper's like, hey, so why, if Leo's organizing all this stuff, can I talk to him? I would like to talk to my husband. And the elders are like, no. And then Piper causes an emotion earthquake.
Because she's the earth goddess.
Yeah. And Paige is like, maybe don't do that because it might alert the Titans to where we are. And Phoebe's like, I know. Why don't we try to use my power to defeat them?
Oh, Phoebe.
We cut to...
Oh, Phoebe.
Yeah, we cut to the non-Cronus Titan who's like... He just kind of wanders into the manor and Phoebe's like, hey, big boy, why don't you look at my boobs? I promise I'm not going to try to kill you. And he's all, well, my girlfriend did just get blown up by my boss, so I guess I could, like, fool around with you and that would be cool.
They lean in, like, they're going to kiss, and then, like, the other Titan shows up and he's like, ha, I was just fooling her. Now let us kill them all. And then they start to kill them all, and then it turns out this was all just a projection being run by Paige in her capacity as the goddess of war, because she can run all sorts of simulated war scenarios to see what will work. And it turns out, when Phoebe takes the lead, nothing works.
Yeah. Paige pulls a Doctor Strange, and she's like, I've looked down 1,000 timelines, and we've lost in every one. But yeah, no matter what battle simulation she runs, they end up losing. You tried Paige's thing, which was shooting lightning, which didn't work. You tried...
I mean, you didn't try Paige's thing of, like, bringing an army of demons.
Yeah. So, basically, the only one you kind of tried was... You didn't try any of them. You just showed up and tried to shoot lightning, which I guess...
It's because they didn't have Leo there to shout at them what to do. They just have Chris there to scold them after the fact.
Yeah, Chris shows up and he's like, so, any movement on this front? And they're like... No, not really. We've run hundreds of battle simulations, but nothing works. And Chris is like...
You guys have been gods for, like, a whole afternoon. I can't believe I'm still having to deal with this. They're like, we need Leo to lay out our battle plan for us and also to be our bard and motivate us. And he's like, oh, no, you don't need Leo.
Seriously, you are gods right now. And as we see when you do defeat the Titans, you barely try.
You barely break a sweat.
Like, so, please get off of your asses. Do something so my dark future does not come to pass. You may have noticed that we've had basically the same conversation before. This episode repeats a lot of stuff.
I was not kidding when I said I think I could edit these two episodes into one episode. But yeah, basically they explain to Chris that Leo's job is to motivate them, and Chris is very not motivating.
Well, they're like, Leo would always say something like, your power comes from your emotions, or you gotta trust the power of three. Like, they start out talking like Leo's inspirational, but then they portray him as this, like, whiny kiss ass who, like, is always blathering on about nothing. Like, Paige is even like, what about when he's like, I gotta go check with the elders. Do you think he actually checks with the elders, or do you think he takes his buddies out to sports bars? What was the point? Did you forget what you were saying? You were telling Chris that you need Leo because he inspires you. When did this become a session to rag on him?
Aren't you kind of like the idea of Leo having a whole set of friends that nobody knows about that he goes to and he says he's going to check with the elders?
It's like Pete's friends on Happy Endings.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he just goes and he has, like, a cup of coffee and no one whines about their normal life being ruined.
It's like Denise on Friends. Denise!
Phoebe's friend that yep. None of them have ever met somehow.
Exactly. She's in the wedding.
Yeah.
She's in Phoebe's wedding. Anyway, back in White Lighter Land, the Titans are looking for Leo, or the person who gave the Charmed Ones God's powers, because somebody must have done that, which means somebody must be up here. So they're looking for Leo, and since this whole set is just clouds with pillars, he's gotta be somewhere.
He's just ducked behind one of the pillars. They could see him if one of them stayed on one side of the pillars and the other one walked to the other side.
Well, he does manage to, like, turn himself invisible like a chameleon, which I do not feel like is a power I've seen him have before, but okay, whatever.
No, I think it's supposed to show us that his powers are growing because he's been spending more time.
I've never seen an elder do that either. Or will again, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but it should be something they can do. Okay, I'm sorry. I just watched Allison Pregler's
video about the Charmed remake.
Yeah, and honestly, I like a lot of ideas they had with the White Lighters in the remake.
Uh-huh.
But one of the changes is that the elders are witches. One of the changes is that elders are witches.
Oh, I do like that more.
And, like, they create the White Lighters.
Okay.
But the White Lighters also have the powers of the witches that brought them back.
Oh, yeah, see, that just sounds way cooler.
Yeah. Also, the fact that when a White Lighter is created, an opposite is created, and that's what Dark Lighters are in that universe, which I think is a really cool thing.
Oh man. Do I want to watch the Charmed reboot now?
I don't think you do. I mean, we can give it a shot. We watched the first episode. And I think I watched the second episode by myself, and then I kind of watched a few episodes in season 2 and season 3, but it was like an entirely different show every time I dipped in.
See, my problem with it wasn't that it was bad, but that it didn't engage me, which for me is a much bigger sin than being bad.
No, it's so boring. It is, like, I don't even think, like, I guess that would make it bad, but it's not, like, bad. It's just, like... It's a nothing show. Although, apparently, so much drama behind the scenes. So much
more drama. Than this Charmed?
Apparently.
I can't even.
I mean, you know, they got prude again, right? You know that one of the sisters quit at the end of season 3 because of difficulty she was having with the writers and producers and possibly the other actresses. So they killed her character off, and then they had, like, oh... It turns out our cousin got a blood transfusion from her. So
they She-Hulked her?
Basically, I guess.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Prue being dead, everybody remember Prue, their first sister who died? Just want to bring that up.
Okay.
Because of my theory!
Yes, because of your theory about Chris. We forgot to mention it because we were just recapping. But the recap has Daryl's wife prominently featured for no reason. She has no effect on the plot.
I was like, does she show up and get hurt in this episode? No, she does not.
Like, she shows up to, like, bring Piper soup in the last, like, 5 minutes, but why was she on? Why was she in the previously on? Why did they feel the need to establish that Daryl's wife knows about the Charmed Ones?
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, back at the Hollowell Manor, since he's done scolding Paige and Phoebe, Chris decides to go upstairs and scold Piper for a while. He's like, oh, I just hate it. I'm watching history repeat itself. And this really does reinforce your theory about how the timeline changes with Chris in it, as opposed to, like, creating an alternate timeline. Because you're not watching history repeat itself, Chris. In your history, Paige died, remember?
Not anymore, because he changed it so Paige didn't die, so that's not the big ish anymore.
Yeah, yeah, you're not watching history repeat itself, Chris. You just remember history because you're from the future.
So, Chris blorps up to White Lighter Land to yell at Leo, because he's run out of people to yell at in the Charmed One household.
He's like, why did you make them so reliant on you? Now I have to come up here and be a decoy so you can go down and deal with your wife and her sisters.
Yeah, because they sense orbing, Chris orbs up and he's orbing, he's like, they'll be distracted by my orbing. They won't sense your orbing. Go tell them to get their asses in gear. Oh my god, it's like pulling teeth.
Okay, so, as you know, because I've mentioned on the last few podcasts, I am rewatching Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
And it just struck me how, like, Grey's Anatomy could theoretically be a Charmed AU with the sisters being, Meredith and Lexi and Amelia, okay? And then Lexi dies. Spoilers for, like, literally 20 years ago. Anyway, so then Lexi dies.
Oh my god, someone died in Grey's Anatomy? Shocker.
No, quiet you. Quiet you. Because Lexi dies and they replace her with the sister that was the secret illegitimate daughter that Meredith's mother had that nobody knew about until she shows up.
Jesus Christ.
Grey's Anatomy is a Charmed AU where the Charmed Ones are surgeons instead of witches. I am putting that flag in the ground right here. So Meredith is Piper. Okay. Lexi is Prue. Maggie is Paige, and Amelia is Phoebe. And I will flesh this all out at a later date.
Are you gonna do an AU of Are you gonna do a witch AU of Grey's Anatomy?
That's just Charmed.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Oh my god. The show even starts with Meredith returning to her family home.
Yeah.
Which then becomes like the base of operations for everyone else. You know what? We can't record anymore. I've got writing to do. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, even though she has the powers of a goddess, Piper's lying in bed being sad because her husband's gone.
Yes.
Because this show is
feminist. For women by women. Actually, it's four women by Brad Kern.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So Leo orbs in and he's like, hey, Piper, you feel like getting up? You feel like doing something? Piper hugs him and she's like, you've got a little gray in your hair. And he's like,
it's just smoky out there.
Time works differently up there, remember?
Jeremy Barraby.
And he looks at it and he's like, oh no, someone got the white hairspray from Hot Topic that makes you look like Billy Idol.
And then, you wish. And Piper's like, why are you wearing an elder robe? And he's like, because it's cold up there. And I was just cold. She's like, okay, I buy this with no further questions.
I think it makes you look like Billy Idol if they were trying to do Billy Idol on The Nanny.
Okay.
You remember when they'd have, like, a celebrity and it would just be,
No, I gotcha. Anyway, the elf nanny comes back and is like, oh, it's an elder, my liege or whatever. And
your wiseness.
And Piper's like, oh, no, he's just my stupid husband. I'm definitely not catching on to what's going on here.
And the elf nanny's like, okay, whatever. So the baby's safe and the weather is getting bad in San Francisco. So if one of you is an earth goddess who can't handle her emotions, maybe look into that.
Yeah.
So the Charmed Ones are researching the Greek gods, and I'm sorry, who does not know the deal with Cronus? It's like...
No, I mean, to be fair, they did already know the deal. Like, when the Titans were brought up, they did immediately know what was going on. It's just that Phoebe decided to go pull, like, what's the mythology book that everybody has?
Edith Hamilton's mythology.
Yeah, she just decided to pull Edith Hamilton's mythology off the shelf and, like, flip through it.
It's a good one. You should check it out.
I'm sure you have.
If you were at all interested in Greek mythology, you probably read Edith Hamilton.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all of the Charmed Ones start simpering over Leo. They're like, how can we be expected to do anything without you, Leo? We need you. And he's like, no, you don't. And they're like, see, that's the kind of great advice we need you for.
He says, you can do this because you're the greatest force of good that I know. And they're like, oh, Leo, you never leave the house.
Well, he starts, you know, he's puffing them up. He's like, you know, Paige, you've got your fiery passion, which would make you the perfect goddess of war. And Phoebe, you never shut the fuck up about finding love. So clearly you are the goddess of love. And Piper, you gave birth to my child, so you're the Earth Mother. She's like, thank you for reducing me to a uterus. That makes me feel really powerful, Leo.
But Paige now has enough confidence to be able to speak definitively as the goddess of war and be like, oh, we need to actually declare ourselves gods. So they have to actually embrace their god powers, the thing Chris has been telling them not to do because they'll be so corrupted by it. They're like, yeah, but we can handle it because we're really super good. So, and we have to do it or else we won't actually have the power. So, I guess there's something to, like, declaring yourself as gods that lets you, like, fully manifest your powers. Like,
I guess, like, think like a god and you'll be a god.
It's like in some urban fantasy stories where when you get turned into a vampire, you're still kind of partly human until you drink human blood and that's when you become, like, full vampire. They have to, like, go full vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Leo's like, look, you need to discover your inner goddesses, trust in the power of three, blah, 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 blah.
It really does go on for a very long time. Honestly, like I said, this all...
You cut, like, most of the pep talks.
But also, here's the other thing. We are two-thirds of the way through the episode when they realize they need to be turned into gods. Like...
The last episode started with you being... The last episode ended with you being turned into gods, and then you were gods at the beginning, and now you're like, no, but we really need to be gods now. Like, we really need to be gods.
Also, anyway.
Also, Leo starts glowing, and they're like, what's going on there? And he's like,
Yeah, him, like, puffing them up was what he needed to do to earn his elder wings, so now he's, like, officially an elder.
So...
The Titans have gone to P3, the place where all the important things that happen in the Charmed Ones' lives that don't happen at the Manor happen.
And they're trying to sniff out Chris, but they're like, wait a second, this smells like that god lady we fought earlier. Guess we better find her and kill her before she comes fully into her powers and sends us to Tartarus or whatever. So, everyone's back home, still embracing their godliness. And
Leo's saying goodbye to Wyatt because he's got to go be an elder and never see his son again.
And Chris orbs in and he's like, okay, can we hurry this up? Dark future needs averting. And Leo's like, you know, Chris, you might not ever be able to go home if this succeeds. And Chris is like, that's the fucking point.
Piper's all upset that Leo's going to be an elder and never come home again. And Chris is like, hey, Leo didn't choose elderdom. Elderdom chose Leo. And it's like, shut up, Chris. Shut up.
And Piper's like, A, Leo, not an elder. He has a family he needs to stay around and get yelled at by. And B, who the fuck are you again, future boy?
Also, Leo is like, well, I'm sorry, but I have to go. Elders don't have families. You know who else doesn't have families?
Whitelighters. This is so stupid. Like...
You broke the rules when you were just a Whitelighter. I feel like they apply to you even less now.
Seriously. Like, why, like, what? Also, you can step down from being a Whitelighter. Like, can't you step down from being an elder?
It is really, like, a false dilemma.
Yeah, and it's not like being an elder stops Leo from being around all the goddamn time anyway. Like... Anyway, the Titans interrupt this by you know, kicking the crap out of Phoebe and Paige.
Yeah, I guess somehow being at P3 let them know where the manor was, so they showed up at the manor.
Yeah, they could. They remember they smelled Piper. They smelled, like, the witchy power that was, like...
Yeah, but that was at P3, now they're at the manor.
Yeah, they just followed the smell. They followed
the smell?
Yeah. They bloodhound tracked Piper.
Okay, gross.
So, they're kicking the shit out of Paige and Phoebe, and Piper storms downstairs and she's like, I was having a conversation with my husband, and she stomps on the floor and the earth opens up and swallows the Titan's whole.
Yeah. She came into her power while she was yelling at Leo, by the way.
Yes. That's how she taps into her earth motherness. It's so sad Paige tries to help by, like, the floor's opening up, one of the Titans falls in, and Paige is like, I'm helping, and she zaps the floor more with lightning.
So. Well, yeah, they're on the edge of the hole to the center of the earth, and Paige widens the hole, so they fall in.
No, one of them already fell in. The hole was still opening. She made it happen a little fast. Like, I'm sorry, Paige helped. Paige helped in the same way our daughter helps me, like, cook.
She makes full meals by herself.
Yes, but, like, I'm the one who's turning the crock pot on and stuff. Like,
okay.
Like, yes, she's pouring the vegetables in. She's pouring the...
Okay.
I'm not trying to take credit. It's amazing what... She can make eggs, which is so freaking cool. She's 4. She can make eggs. I couldn't make eggs when I was a kid. I mean, I never really tried, but, like...
The really funny thing is that she loves to make eggs. She'll, like, go to the fridge and get out the eggs and, like, crack them into the pan. But she doesn't eat eggs. Yeah, she won't eat them.
Yeah, she'll, like, take a nibble, but, yeah.
She'll be like, oh, this is what I wanted. I just wanted to make it.
I am giving her credit. She's definitely going to know how to cook way earlier than I did. Like, she already, like, you're not here to listen to us brag about our kid. Our kid is so amazing, though. But, yes.
Way better than Piper's stupid kids.
So... Yep. Now that the Titans... Piper stomped on the ground and they fell in a hole. This did not need as much build up as it got.
So Leo comes downstairs with the god cookie jar and puts all of the god powers back in the god cookie jar.
Well, he goes to Paige and he's like, Paige, are you ready to give up your god? And she's like, I guess. And, you know, repeat with Phoebe and they both blurp back into their regular forms. And he's like, well, I guess I gotta go talk to Piper. And Chris is like, sure, you gotta go talk to Piper.
Yeah.
Chris is so pissy.
He tells Paige and Phoebe that if they need Leo, Chris knows how to get in touch, so.
Yeah, he's like, look, I'm a white lighter, so it's like my job to talk to the elders or whatever. So if you need to talk to Leo, just talk to me, a totally trustworthy guy. Chris last name. God, I think it's Perry. I think Perry is his fake last name.
Sure, why not? That makes sense because it's a P name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It makes more sense than his first name being Chris, honestly.
Well, he's named after himself because he died.
No. Piper naming her sons White and Chris doesn't make sense.
Well, she probably would have named him something else if Chris hadn't come back from the future and then died. It's a closed time loop thing, right?
Oh, like Calvin Klein?
Yeah, Chris was always meant to come back from the future and die and give himself the name that he would need for when he comes back to the future and dies later.
Okay.
Honestly, Piper could have saved his life by naming him something else, like Perry. That even begins with a P.
Exactly. Anyway... Once they're done being annoyed with Chris, they cast a spell to figure out where Piper has run off to, and then they go out into the rain. She's making it rain real hard in San Francisco because she's sad and she's still got her Earth Goddess powers.
Yeah, she's like basically causing an apocalyptic storm because she's sad that her husband got a promotion. I know that's a joke from Alison Pregler's Charmed Review. I'm sorry, but it's literally what happened.
He left the family.
For no reason. He did leave the family for no reason. So they're like, if you're mad at Leo, why don't you go up and talk to Leo? You're a god. You can just teleport to White Lighter Land. She's like, oh, yeah, that's true.
So she does. She goes up to talk to Leo. And then, okay, this is fucked up. Should we talk about how fucked up this is?
This is really fucked up.
And this is not this is not some, like, evil thing. This is not, he's secretly possessed. This is not the part of, like, an evil scheme. He's not an avatar yet. Like, this is just a really fucked up thing that Leo does.
Yeah, because Leo's like, we can't be together anymore.
That's not the fucked up part.
I'm an elder now. I'm part of this elite group of magic users. I have to give up all more. Oh, yes, I'm building to the horrible thing that he
does. Just letting them know. I'm letting them know. It's getting so bad, you all.
So I'm part of this divinity thing. I can't have a family anymore. So you're going to have to raise all by yourself. Bye. And Piper's like, excuse me. Excuse me, what? Like,
you know what this is like? This is like when Derek Shepherd left Meredith so that he could go serve on the president's council about his, like, whatever, his brain technique. It's a charm to you.
Yes. So, anyway, Piper's like, what are you talking? Why are you that's not a good reason to leave your family. The threat was defeated. The Titans are gone.
And he's like, yeah, but now I have to rebuild all the elders that got killed.
And Piper's like, I don't see why that should be your job. No. And Leo's like, I'm sorry, it's my duty. And she's like, oh my god, is this a cutscene? Is this a cutscene where no matter what I say, you keep saying, but thou must, over and over again until I just leave?
Yep.
And yeah, Leo's like, yeah, basically.
And then here comes the fucked up part.
Piper is so disheartened by the fact that her husband has dumped her for his job that she loses her god powers.
That's not the fucked up part.
That is not, but it sets up. And she's like, how am I supposed to live without you, Leo? How am I supposed to exist with the big hole that you're going to leave in my heart? And I feel like you've been champing at the bit for this.
And then he erases her emotions about it. So she knows that Leo has abandoned his family, but she no longer feels the way she feels about it.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, when websites and stuff do lists of times that people got mind wiped that's fucked up, This one never makes the list. I feel like, because not enough people watch Charmed this far.
Yeah.
But it definitely should. He erases not her memory, but her emotion of this. And there's not a justification for this. He's just like, you know what, it would help if you just didn't feel anything about it. You know what would help me if I just didn't have to deal with your woman emotions about it all?
Oof. Yeah.
And he sends her back down. He takes her pain like he's fucking Zan over here.
Yeah. So, it's some time later, the next day probably.
Yeah, Daryl and his wife show up at the manor to, like, see how everyone's doing now that everything's shook out.
Yeah, Daryl's like, I'm sorry your husband
got turned into the moon.
Yeah, that's rough, buddy. But, yeah, Daryl is like, I feel like Leo died, but that's clearly not what happened, so I'm sorry something happened. Leo's not coming back, I guess.
I'm sorry Leo was in that car accident, and because he was taken to a rural hospital, they didn't get a head CT, and now he died of a illness that ironically only he could have prevented.
Oh my god, did Grey's Anatomy steal a plot line from Joey and Friends?
Oh yeah, that is what happens in Friends. That is what happens when they write Joey off of Days of Our Lives on Friends.
Yeah. Drake Ramore was the only doctor who was skilled enough to save himself.
Yeah.
So, Paige and Phoebe are talking about how fucked up it is that Leo's gone forever and Piper seems to be having no emotions about it.
She's like, eh. Win some, lose some.
Husbands.
Yeah. She's basically did that happen to Grams? Is that why Grams is so chill about losing all her husbands?
Wait, you think the elders were just like, don't care about men?
Yeah.
No,
maybe she was so upset after her first husband died that they were like, oh, let's just suck out all caring from her. No. No, you're right. She was born that way.
Yeah. She's like, oh no, my first husband died. Oh well. No, she loved him, apparently. I mean, she loved him. We talked about this before. She loved him enough to keep his last name, which...
Yeah, that's like a whole thing.
But, yeah, so Daryl and his wife are confused why they're there and why...
So am I.
Yeah, and also why, you know...
Piper's so chipper.
Yes, they're like, isn't Leo dead or something? And they're like...
Honestly, Piper's in a better mood than I've ever seen her. And now Leo's dead, so I don't know. I'm just saying, it looks a little suspicious.
Yeah. So, outside, speak of the alleged dead guy, Leo orbs down. Chris is just kind of chilling on the front steps.
Yeah.
And Leo orbs down. He's like, so... The Council of Elders took a vote, and looks like you're going to be the Charmed One's new white lighter. And Chris is like, that's neat.
Okay. They decided you can't go back to the future for reasons.
And Chris is like, well, duh, the timeline changed. Of course I can't go back to the future.
And since we have no idea who you are, we thought that we should give you three witches who are the most important witches in all of the planet to deal with.
Also, we haven't seen you heal. That's something you can do, right? You can heal.
Right? Like, how do you know that white lighters in the future don't even heal? Yeah. Like, maybe they don't.
So, yeah, Chris is now the Charmed One's white lighter, but you better be careful, buddy, because Leo's got his eyes on you. He's watching you, man, and if you put one toe out of line, if you're this suspicious of him, why not choose someone else to be the white lighter for the Charmed Ones?
Economy of characters, Max. Economy of characters. Anyway, so once Leo has given his warning, he orbs off and flies away. And
he orbs off as slowly as we've ever seen anyone orb in this show.
Specifically to give Chris time to wave a hand and explode the orb, making it appear as though Chris has dissipated Leo. Like, Chris has just killed Leo. And now things are super ominous going into the season break. Who is Chris? Why did he just kill Leo? What are his intentions? And then he walks through the front door of the manor, and we get the shot that we always get of Prue telekinetically closing the door, except it's Chris closing the door because, as I am so fond of pointing out, Chris is obviously the reincarnation of Prue, and that's why we never see Prue's ghost. Yes. The end.
Exactly. Exactly. Also, I really love that Chris's powers are just, like... standard telekinesis and orbing.
What do you mean?
Like, I like that he doesn't have the combo power thing that Paige has.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That he just has a bog standard, because witches. He has one of the, like, iconic Warren powers plus orbing.
Yeah, he's not... Yeah, he doesn't have a white lighter, like, means of it, like Paige does. I got you. That is cool.
Yeah. And it also makes me think that things would have been different if Prue hadn't had the power first. Like, that Paige's power had to manifest differently.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's the end of that episode.
Yeah. So, I like Chris.
I love Chris. And honestly, I don't have a problem with this episode per se.
They could have been one episode.
Other than that, it could have been one episode. This could have been a tight 40-minute episode that might even be one of my favorites. Yeah. But instead, it's two very long episodes where I feel like I want to watch it on 2x speed.
Yeah, you will hear the same conversation, as you can tell from this episode, over and over and over again. Did you know that they need Leo? They need Leo to do stuff. Leo.
Well, next time we're going to be in season 6, and we're going to be talking...
Amazons! Sorry.
Valkyries.
Oh, Valkyries.
Yes, the episode is called Valhalla of the Dolls.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The description on Peacock is, the sisters learn that Leo is being held captive on the island of Valhalla and must rescue him.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes!
Oh, no. Oh, no. You know what next episode introduces?
The worst thing Paige ever did?
No. Yes. But Phoebe's getting her empathy power.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, it's the worst. It's the worst. Oh, I'm so excited to talk about it. The little jingly sound they play, and oh my god, it's so terrible.
Well, that makes sense though, because she hasn't had a premonition in a while, it feels like.
And when was the last time she levitated?
And we don't have any premonitions here because we talked about them last episode. So that's appropriate.
Wow, yeah. You slid us right into, much like the Charmed Ones, we have our own power of three. The first power in our pack is premonition. Who in this episode is, was, or will become famous. And since these were clearly supposed to be one episode, nobody knew.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
We talked about Brian Thompson. We talked about that lady.
That lady, yes.
The second power in our pack is time freeze. What specifically dated this episode? This is going to sound really weird.
Go ahead.
But the fact that the picture of Cronus eating his children is not the iconic memed picture of Cronus eating his son. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it... Yeah, okay.
Like, I feel like it would... Goya, right?
Yes, I believe that's right.
Yeah, like, I feel like if even in the past 10 years, if you were going to reference Cronus, you would have that picture.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay. Yours is way more interesting than mine, because other than the fact that there's a bachelor auction at all, which feels very dated to me, Phoebe's very long blonde wig that she has is the Goddess of Love. She's got a braidini in it to do the, like, fancy crown braid thing. It was a staple of late night infomercials in the 90s. It was like a thing that lets you do, like, little braid things in your hair.
I was thinking, like, a bump it?
Pre-bump it, but yes.
Yeah.
Like it.
The third power in our pack is telekinesis. What, if anything, genuinely moved you?
Okay, I mean...
Are we just... this? It's weird that this is not a Piper power because it goes to Hollywood Come so often.
Every single time, of course. Piper in the sky railing against Leo because he's leaving their family before he sucks out all their emotions. Yeah.
Yeah, like, poor Piper. And I don't particularly... I would say I don't care for the Piper and Leo relationship. It's had its moments. They spend a lot of time fighting, which is always very irritating. But, like, honestly, it's way worse when they're apart than when they're together.
Yeah, I agree.
And, like, we're going to have to talk about, like, Fireman Greg. And then it's the weird thing where they've got their secret identities, but they don't know whether they should be fake married as a secret.
We've got a lot to get into with the two of them.
They get divorced, kind of, but not really, because they were just handfasted and never legally married.
Well, I have, speaking of this particular feeling, I do have a secret power.
Oh, what's the secret power?
Astral projection.
Oh, what made you cringe so hard you wanted to physically leave your body?
The weird goddess worship of Phoebe in that scene with the bachelors. It was really disturbing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the thing where Paige threatened to cut off her nephew's balls, and then Phoebe was like, no, I want him to keep his balls for sex reasons.
Well, that one's only astral projection if you already know. And I have to enter into these episodes assuming I don't already know, even though I'm talking about it basically the entire time.
Yes. Also, I kind of want to go the opposite way, because the little yip Chris gives when Paige threatens to cut off his balls, it's the most emotion I think we will ever see out of Drew Fuller.
He is a very wooden actor.
But that's part of the charm of Chris.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Because his emotions are at a 10 all the time, and his voice is perpetually at a 2.
That should be the time freeze. It's very Gen X. I think that's it for this week.
Yes, I think that will about do it.
Our show is partially listener-supported. If you want to be one of our supporters, you should head over to our website, www.welcometotelevision.net, and click on our Patreon link. We'd like to thank our current $5 and above patrons, Beryl, Patricia, Rosa, Ryan, Mara Cruz, Benjamin, Kate, Jen, Dan, Anthony, and Daniel.
If you'd like to support the show in other ways, you could always rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show.
If you want to talk about this episode, or any episode of any television show, you can... find us on Blue Sky.
Oh!
Yes, at Welcome to TV. Or you can email us at welcometotelevision@gmail.com.
So until next time, I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And this has been Welcome to the Hollowell Manor. Also, before we witch noise out, I am aware that last week's episode uploaded weird. We're re-uploading it before uploading this episode. So if you wondered why it cut off kind of early, that should hopefully be fixed by now.
Yes, although you're saying this at the end, nobody listens this far.
Yeah, so that's a secret reward for those of you who listen till the end.
Bog, witch noise.
Wah, witch noise.